Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the McInerney Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
You can clap be better. Let your hand clap be better. Hey, the people hear you, not clap your hands, you see. Or is it painful to clap your hands? It's like every time I come, I must ask you to clap your hands. Like, why is he doing that? Because we like clap your hands too much. Are we in nursery school? Oh. How many of you are excited to be in church? Look, one of the signs of truly being spiritual is that you are excited to be in the presence of God. But David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And also, I want you to know that even if you are not feeling excited, try to be excited. Excite yourself. That one too is there. Excite yourself, because here we don't accept dullness, calmness, a certain blasé attitude, diplomacy, nobility. You know, as I'm talking, I'm looking straight. I've not looked at anybody's face before you come and say I was talking about you. Yes. Are you ready for the word today? Because you see, some of you, your facial expression will block your receiving of the word. You know, like the way you have arranged yourself. Because there's bread about to be shared this morning. Hot, fresh bread. You know, in some places it's described as the milk. In some places it's described as honey. Some places it's described as butter. Some places it's meat. But however it's described, is described in desirable terms. It's something that is tasty. Yeah. So if for you it is Abenquine that is there, then it's Abenquine that's coming to you this morning. But I can assure you that what you are about to receive is a tasty meal in the spirit. Hallelujah. And it's something that is going to grow your spirit and draw you closer to God. I want you to stand to your feet this morning as we prepare to receive the gift that God has given us. The servant of God who is bringing us the word of God, the mind of God this morning. And if you're as excited as I am, I want you to clap your hands the loudest that you can. You can make a shout. You can even jump around to show your excitement. And let's welcome to this pulpit the Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Come on, make some noise this morning. Make some noise. Thank you.
Can you lift your hands and let's thank the Lord for today?
Jesus.
Thank
him
for making today possible. Thank him for his word you are about to Thank him for his blessing.
Ah, thank you, Lord. Man dola vradiga sentaya baha. Likatosha devala makataya baha. Iladusha debaya.
Father, we thank you.
Yes, yes.
We are grateful to you.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Our lives will not be the same again.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Yes.
It's a blessing to be here, and I'm very happy to see you, because you look very, very fresh. No, I mean, as I stand here, I can see freshness, and I can see beauty, and I can feel that there are angels amongst us. And that's how I know that somebody is being blessed even as we sit here. You are being blessed
Amen.
Already.
Amen. Amen.
And I want you to know that you've done a very good thing to be in church.
Oh, what a church. Blessing. Yes.
Church.
Yes.
Church. And I also believe that you are living here with something.
Prophesy. Amen.
Something beautiful.
Prophesy.
Something powerful.
Yes, yes.
Something that will give you a reason to come to God again.
Amen. Amen.
Because yes. I can assure you that you are going to have
Prophesy.
Something to show.
Yes, amen.
To the world.
Amen.
That you are walking with
yes,
God.
Yes, yes.
When they see you,
prophesy, prophesy.
They will know that God is with you.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
The days when you were dry, you were just dry.
Jesus.
Just dry.
Hey,
not
hey.
Having anything to show the world. Those days are gone.
Amen.
It's a new day of God's blessing.
Amen.
And it's my prayer that Jesus. God will keep you
yes.
excited.
Amen.
Blessed
Amen.
And constantly
Jesus.
Loving him.
Amen.
How many of you love the Lord? Love the Lord.
Yes, I love the
May
Lord.
May that love never Jesus. Ever diminish.
Amen.
May that love be multiplied.
Professor. Amen.
May that love change you.
Yes. Amen.
I said, may that love
Amen.
Change you.
Amen.
May your love for God make you
Jesus.
Great.
Amen.
May your love for God make you sweet. May your love for God make you attractive.
Amen.
As Joseph loved God, and he was liked, even in prison, he was liked. May you also be liked.
Amen.
May your love for God change the entire picture of your life. May people who know you single you out.
Amen. Amen.
That you are different from your friends.
Prophesy.
That you are different from your neighbors.
Amen.
That you are different from your classmates.
Yes. Amen.
I know you have many classmates. But may there be no mates in your class.
Amen.
I said, I know you have many classmates.
Jesus.
But may the love you have for God cause you to have no mates.
Yes.
In your class.
Amen.
Receive uniqueness.
I receive it. Yes.
Uniqueness.
I receive it.
Uniqueness.
I receive it.
May you be special.
Amen.
May you be loved.
Amen.
May you be preferred. May you
ah.
be somebody
hey,
that,
hey,
that
hey,
God
hey.
Would want to use to boast.
Amen.
As he boasted hey. With Job. May he boast
Jesus.
With you.
Amen.
Because there will be something about you
yes, yes.
that he can use to show the world
Amen.
That
Jesus.
He has blessed you.
Amen.
May you never remain dry.
Amen. Amen.
Permanently dry. Permanently lacking.
Amen.
Permanently in need.
Amen.
May Jehovah supply your needs.
Yes, yes, yes.
May he refresh you.
Amen.
May he bless you.
Amen.
And may he grant you great increase.
Amen. I receive.
In Jesus' name.
I receive.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You will enjoy walking with God.
Professor, amen. Professor.
You will enjoy walking with
amen.
God.
Amen. Yes, yes.
You know, a lot of Christians look very, they look disappointed. They look bored. They look unhappy. But that will not be your story.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
That
yes.
will not be your story.
Amen. Kalavma. Hey. Kelevesona maya.
You'll be one of the most exciting
professor.
Christians.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Because the truth is that
work it. Work it.
There is. No reason to be excited about something when you don't have much to show.
Jesus, Jesus.
So I can understand why you are very dull. But God is going to change the picture.
Amen. Amen.
He's going to give you something to
yes.
show.
Amen.
I mean, you will hold something.
Yay.
That
yes.
I have this.
Jesus.
And you will boast
yes.
about the Lord.
Amen.
That there is something yes. in your hand.
Amen. Amen.
You will have something.
Amen.
What Satan has
Professor.
Used to destroy people will not affect you.
Amen. Amen.
I declare you resistant
Amen.
To his deceptions.
Amen.
I declare you resistant to his tricks.
Amen.
I declare you resistant to every arrangement he has made for you.
Yes,
I say you are resistant.
Amen.
It will affect you. It will bounce off you. It will bounce off your life. I say it will bounce off your life.
Yes.
It will bounce off you.
Yes.
And after all the storms, you will still be standing. And they will say,
wow.
See what the Lord has done.
Yes. Oh, yes.
See what the Lord has done.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The Lord bless you.
Amen.
And make you great.
Jesus. Jesus.
Continually shine.
Amen.
I bless you with happiness.
Amen.
Happiness.
I receive it.
Joy.
I receive it.
Joy.
I receive it.
Gladness.
I receive it.
All those English words. All those words in the Bible. When will we use them? When will we use joy? When will we use excitement? When will we use gladness of heart? Receive it now. Gladness of heart.
Amen. I receive it.
You'll be glad.
Amen.
People would like to become Christians because of you.
Amen.
They see how you are smiling,
Jesus, yes.
how you are happy,
oh, yes.
how
oh,
you
yes.
are blessed. Then I want to be like this person.
Yes, yes.
May
yes.
that be your story.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, what a blessing. God bless you. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm reading from Matthew 22. Verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. You will pass your test.
Amen. Amen.
You will pass your test.
Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
whatever has come to test you,
prophesy, prophesy,
you will pass it.
Amen. Jesus.
Actually, contrary to what you think, a test is supposed to be passed. You know, some of you think a test means that you must fail. Like, I'm being tested, it means I must fail. I preached a message many years ago. The title was Temptations. I preached it for about 13 weeks. Temptations. Find it on the podcast and listen to it. But I'm saying that Jesus, a lawyer, came. So you may think, oh, he's just asking a question, but he's testing him. Sometimes people test you to know what type of person you are. Not every test is evil. You will pass your test. Like how you have a phone with a lot of money on it on a Sunday, it's a test to see whether you will use some to bet today. Pass it. Pass it by not betting. How you have a phone. You see, for some months now, you've not watched pornography. Because there's no data. And you don't know what happened to your cousin. Your cousin said he has sent you 100 CDs data. 100 CDs data. It's the devil who organized it, expecting that you will start the pornography. But I'm telling you that there will be data. That's why the privileged class said that I won't go back. Even as they've come here, they are not going back. Can you tell anybody you're not going back to the world? Ask a person again, are you going back? Jesus said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit. You put your hand to the plow to be a Christian and you go back to the world. You put your hand to the plow that you are a shepherd and you go back to an ordinary Christian life. You put your hand to the plow that you are a pastor and you are now a businessman. You put your hand to the plow that you are starting a service, then you have stopped. You are not worthy of it. God wants people who continue pressing and forging and fighting on. So today, a lawyer came to him and said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37. Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Thus, what I have just read, thus is a first. The first and the great. If you have a good Bible, you will notice that verse 38 and 37 and 36 are in red. You can check and see that it's red letters. If it's a good Bible. So it means that it's the words of Jesus. He said, this is the first. Is the first means that it's the first thing to do before you go to the second one. So anybody who is doing number three, number four, number two, The assumption is that you are finished, number one. Otherwise, you are wasting your time. The first thing, like when you are doing something, there's the first thing to do. In physics and maths, we say first principles. If we see that you are a pastor, the assumption is that you have done the first. And what is the first? The first is that you give God all. All. All your heart. Your soul is your emotions, your will, your mind. All. You've not done that. Then you have failed. Number one is that you give him all. So the title of the message is give yourself wholly all. This type of bovire or servire Christianity. A little God, a little boyfriend. Sunday God, Wednesday Guinness. Sunday morning God, Saturday night fever. No. A little shepherd in the church and a little crookish ways. You are a crook in your office doing deals. Then on Sunday, you are a shepherd in the church. Oh. It is the law. Please take me back to verse 35. 36. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? In the law, in the books. The law is that if you are a Christian, if you belong to God, the law is that you give him all. It's the law. I don't know if you have those signboards in Ghana. I don't remember. I'm sure we have them. But in England, you say, buckle up. It is the law. It's not a suggestion. It's not just good behavior. It's not something to prevent yourself from dying. It is the law. If we find you not buckled up, you are breaking a law. And in the kingdom, it is give all of yourself. It is the law. The law is all. God wants people who are totally giving to him. He wants all of you. All. He doesn't like it at all when he discovers that all this time he has been sharing you with your job or with your wife or with some unbeliever life. All. He wants you to work. He says, he who does not work must not eat. He wants you to marry. He wants you to be a responsible father, loving your children, pay their fees, work and love your family, love your wife, love your husband, love your children. But when it comes to your heart, he doesn't want to find that part of your heart is for your child. All your heart. Love the Lord with all thy heart. Can you see the word there? Thou shalt love with all thy heart. And he says that husbands, love your wife. So I don't know what you are going to use to love your wife. But as for God, he wants all your heart. Give thyself wholly. Some of you sitting here are unbelievers. You are an unbeliever who devotes your Sunday to church. Your Sunday to God. Look at what is on your phone. Look at what you were doing two nights ago. Where are the friends you were with yesterday? You are an unbeliever. That's why Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly. We need Christians who have given all of themselves to God. All. I'm a believer. All of me is God. All. There's no part of me with some nightclub. There's no part of me with some other life. There's no part of me with some other behaviors. I am all for God. All. He wants you to have money. He said, I wish above all things. You see, your heart is not supposed to be given to your wife or your husband or your job. Start the company. Build it. Build a company to be a $1 million company. But he shouldn't find that your heart has gone to the company. He doesn't like it at all. Have friends. But make sure your heart is not with a man or with a friend. There's no way you will find that you have been advised to love your children with your heart. Or love your husband with your heart. Or love your business with your heart. The Bible says in Psalm 62 and verse 10. Psalm 62 and verse 10. It said, if riches increase. First of all, it said, trust not in oppression. And become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Have a lot of money, but don't set your heart on it. The heart is for God. It's not for your wife. Once she finds you sharing your heart with something else, it's a problem. So, how do you give yourself wholly to God? You give yourself wholly to God by believing that your life is in your hands, it's in your power to do what you want to do with it. Number two, you give yourself wholly to God by giving all your heart. You see, the first point is very important. The first point is the first point. The first point is the first. For you to know that the power to give yourself to God is not in God's hands, It's not in some angel's hand. It is in your hands. You are steering your life. You are determining the course of your life. Your life is in your hands. If your life was in God's hands, like you were a puppet with the strings in God's hand, the Bible would be a very different book. If your life was in God's hands, if you were a puppet that God was just moving up and down, the Bible you know today will not be the Bible. It will be a very different book, in the sense that it is God who will start everything. But in the Bible, read it carefully, you will notice that God doesn't start a lot of things. 98% of the things God does in the Bible are in response to your behavior. Because he knows you are in charge. Open your Bible and read to me something God is just doing. There's nothing like God loves me out of the blue. He doesn't do that. That impression that God is a Father Christmas, a pot-bellied Father Christmas with toys in his bag, then he removes the toy. God, it's your imagination. And it's a vain imagination. Sit down properly with a glass of water and read the Bible. You will notice that God hardly does any. All the things in the Bible God does are in response to. Because he knows that you are in charge. So all he does is that he is always responding to your behavior. If he is cursing you, is God doesn't just get up and curse. A curse. That God is just cursing you. No. Read Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1 to verse 14. He is blessing. Then he switches from verse 15 to the 50 whatever. He is cursing. Look at it. It shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord to observe, then all these curses will come. Then he starts, verse 16, curse shall thou be. Verse 17, curse. Verse 18, curse. Verse 19, curse. If you see God cursing, it's because of a verse 15. You are in charge. It's what He respects you. Whatever you are doing, he will respond to you. He doesn't just bless. God doesn't just bless. All these things are imaginations. There's nothing like that. He is just blessing. Read your Bible. Just pick anywhere God is blessing people. There's a reason why he's blessing. Because he has already told us in Hebrews 11 that anybody who comes to God must know that he exists, number one. And number two, he is a rewarder. That's God. God, a rewarder responds to things. A reward is something given in response to. That's why the first point is there. And I will hammer on the first point, because some of you think that some circumstances have made you what you are. You are not a product of no circumstances. Somebody also has been through what you are going through and worse, but the person is properly behaved. You have chosen the path you are on. You are the one responsible, and you will pay your price. Draw nigh to me. Oh, draw nigh to me. So you see, God is getting close to somebody. You may say, oh, God just picked the woman because her hair is green. No. He's responding to somebody who is drawing near to him. I love them that love me. You see that if God is drawing near to somebody, he's loving somebody. The person first loved him. Yes. God showed mercy on you. That's the reason why he showed mercy on you. He shows mercy because you were merciful. It's your mercy you showed that brother that triggered God's mercy in the car accident yesterday. Blessed are the merciful, for they, the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. That brother in the office, God is promoting him. He was stenographer grade 2. He's now grade 1. He was the assistant commander. He's now the main commander. He was the branch manager. He's now the federal manager. God has blessed his, raised his salary from 1,280 to 1,700. God is lifting him up. Hey, he did something because he has set his love upon me. Because he has set his love upon me, I will lift him up. I will deliver him from evil. Why do you think it's not everybody who is delivered from evil? Now, why do you think that two people will have an accident? One has a mild impact. He dies on the spot. One happened recently. And somebody has an accident with blood everywhere. The heart is stopped. After 2 days, he's alive. Why do you think God delivers? Because he has set his love upon me. I will deliver him. I will set him on high. I'm from now, from today, read your Bible with a mind that the things you see God doing are all responses to. If you don't find a trigger, it means you've not understood what God is doing. So if you are sitting here and you are not loving God the way you must give yourself to him as a Christian, don't think that it's because of your uncle or your father or your pastor or the brother who offended you or the church who doesn't love you. You have chosen to walk that way. It's your power. I mean, this morning, my quiet time I read was very... I couldn't believe it. I don't remember the last time I saw it, but it's been decades since I saw that verse. He said, if your... I was shocked this one. He said, if your brother offends you, normally, I know of if he offends you, and but this one was 7 times in a day. And 7 times in a day, he comes to say, forgive him. Forgive. 7 times in a day. And then 7 times in a day, he comes to you. Let me tell you, we are not some powerless minions. We are not some powerless minions, puppets, objects that are being moved around. You are fully in charge of your life. You are fully in charge of your life. Even the things God will do in your life, you make him do the things he does. You are so in charge of your life, you will not even believe it. I mean, Jesus Christ went to somebody who had been paralyzed for years, and I was surprised that, do you want me to heal you? Abba, then what am I doing here? If I didn't want healing, what am I doing here? But he asked, do you want it? Because you are in charge of your life. You are here because you want to be here. Are you ready for me to act? Give yourself wholly to God. Now we are talking. Give all by giving all your heart. So it is in your power. You have chosen to be a liar and a thief. Your heart, 60% with God, 40% with the world. It's you. Number three, give yourself wholly to God by building all your friendships around Christ. Verse 4. Number four, give yourself wholly to God by building all your activities around Christ and His Word. That's a person who has given himself to God. When we say a girl has given herself to a man, it means that, Charlie, anything goes. If the man presses a button, she has to take Uber and come. I'm all for you, Titi. All for you. God, He relates with us as slaves. It's today this type of modern King James English that you don't see those words in the Bible. You see, they've changed the word slave to servant. Most of the places where you see servant and serve, is the word, original word, is doulos, slave. Like the Bible says that no man can be a slave to two masters. That's true. Nobody can be a slave to two masters. You are either a slave on this man's plantation or you are a slave on that man's plantation. No man. It doesn't even exist. I mean, the very idea of a slave is that you are a slave and master. Then we have changed it to no man can serve two masters. And you can see, even the English is wrong English. I mean, how can someone not serve two masters? Don't people do two jobs? Don't you do clean in one place and go and cut the grass in another place? Don't you work at Ministry of Social Welfare and you're also working in somebody's house as a whatever? Don't people do two jobs? I'm asking an English question. Don't people do two jobs? Can a man not serve two masters? So this is not true. And it's not true because the word, that word serve, doulos, is a slave. No man can be a slave. A slave does not do what he wants to do. You are too free to be blessed by God. You are too loose to enjoy what He has for you. Can't you see? Your life as it is now is not what He originally wanted it to be. That's not the life. The people He blesses, they are His slaves. Nobody goes to a slave market and you choose who should buy you. Your hands are in fetters. Your feet are in fetters. And I say, I want Mr. Wilson. I don't want Mr. Williamsburg. No. It is Mr. Johnson. He chooses that I want this slave based on his muscles. Slaves are the ones who are chosen. And said, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. And I said, go. Go and bear fruit. And it's when you go that every prayer you pray, I will answer. I will answer you. He answers the prayers of His slaves. You have too many options to be a slave. You have too many options to be a slave. You are in church today because you want to be here. Next week, Sunday, if you don't feel like coming to church, you will not come to church. You have too many options to be blessed by God. God doesn't bless people like you. Number five, give yourself wholly to God by building your life around church activities. Give yourself wholly to God by being able to point to things or people you have left behind to follow Christ. Anyone who cannot point to something you have left behind, you've not given yourself to God. Oh, I forgot to tell you, it's the law. It's the law. It's the law. And the basis for your rejection, you are going to be rejected one day. Not because you fornicated. Not because you drank Guinness. The reason God will reject you one day will be on the basis of your lawlessness. Depart from me. There's a law. Fornication is not a sin if it is not part of a law. We know it is a sin because there is a law that until you marry a woman, you cannot remove her panties and put her on a bed. It's a law. Adultery cannot be a sin. In fact, the Bible defines sin. Sin is actually the breaking of the law, departure from the law. That's not what Paul said. Where is it? Yes, yes, yes. Whoever commits sin transgresseth also the law. For sin, nothing is a sin if you cannot quote a law. Sin is the transgression of the law. That is why adultery is a sin. Because the law is the law. That you cannot touch somebody's wife is the law. It's the law that once you are married, you cannot touch somebody who is not your husband. Is the law. That is why adultery is a sin. So the basis for rejection, that depart from me, I never knew you, is not on the basis of fornication or adultery or smoking weed or drinking. It's only on the basis of laws. Laws. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You are a practitioner of lawlessness. Get away from me. That's why I read it. The law is that you must love the Lord with all your heart. It's the law. And once you don't do that, he will say, I never knew you. The people he knows are those who have built their lives totally around him. Around the church, around activities, around Jesus. Point number eight. Oh, there's no eight. Is that eight? There's seven. Give yourself wholly to God by building your life around people God is using. If you are a true follower of God, there must be somebody God is using that you are around. You are building your life. You don't just travel. You don't just move to go and stay somewhere. The people who were God's people, they were connected to men and women God was using. See, Some of them, even their wives were chosen by their fathers. I'm telling you that you are too free, you are too liberated to be noticed by God for a blessing. Paul said, some people say, I'm not a man of God. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Me, I'm not a man of God. I'm not a man of God. He said, am I not a man of God? Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Haven't I seen Jesus? Are you not my work in the Lord? So ideally, you should be somebody's work. Yes. Who can you point to as being responsible for the life you are living? I can point to somebody for even what I'm wearing. I can point to somebody who is responsible for how I'll dress today. I can point to somebody who is responsible for what I was doing last night. Who can you point to as responsible for the life you are living? You're on your own. He said, are you not my work? So you, ideally, we are supposed to be somebody's work. Yes, ideally, you are supposed to be somebody's work he's doing. Somebody's project. So in this church, we have got fellowship leader making ministers. They make leaders by following a set of instructions, because nobody is self-made. Are you not my work? Paul told Philemon. He said, don't push me. I'm saying that Onesimus must come and take care of him. Whatever he owes you, I'll pay. But be very careful. Don't let me start talking about the fact that you, Philemon, you owe your life to me. Who can talk like that about you? Is that in English? Or maybe it's a King James which is confusing us. I'm preaching some false doctrines with some wrong translation. Give us something new. Some new living translation. So new American, new. And I won't mention that you owe Jesus your very soul. You owe the Holy Ghost your very soul. I'm saying that as you sit there, you should be somebody is working on. But you have deliberately removed yourself. The tree is where prim wakuma. And I wish you home. You owe your soul. Paul said, are you not my work? And he was not talking to one person. He was talking about a church. Yes. This church here is my work. It's not Bishop Kobe's work. It's not Reverend Ekins' work. It is my work. I'm the one doing this work. I'm the one doing this work. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, it said, every house is built by somebody. Every house is built by some man. But we know also that God is a builder of all things. Don't say, the man has become proud. See how you are talking now. When you were a young person, said, God is building this. I said, I am the one building this church. I'm the one building this church. I'm the one building the church. The arrangement of people in the church, I'm the one. If it's a useless church, I'm the one building it. Can you see empty chairs? It's because of me. If you put Bishop Kobe here as a pastor of this church, there will not be empty chairs. It is empty because of Bishop Edwin Ogo. He's the reason why there are empty chairs. I'm the one. There's no Holy Ghost in this matter. It is a man who built. Paul said, "Are you not my work?" Then the next verse is even more bizarre. It's wild. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 2. He said, "Even if I'm not an apostle to other people, but I am an apostle to you, for you are the seal. If ever I will go somewhere and say I'm a pastor, the pictures I will show will be this set. You are the proof that I preach on Sundays. You are the proof that I can raise a choir. You are the proof that I can build new converts. You are the proof that I can grow a church. You are the proof that I can have multiple services. You are the proof that I can train instrumentalists. You are the proof. Even if they say I'm not a man of God, as for you, you are the seal." And the English question is that if these above scriptures are true, then who is working on you? I'm showing you the extent which you have not given. You have removed. You cannot walk with God without the context of a male, man, woman. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "I, God, I will give you pastors." Who is building you? Can you respectfully ask the next person sitting by you, two people around, ask the person, this life, who is responsible for this life? Ask the woman. If you ask me now, I will mention a name. Who is building you? I don't understand the preaching. You see, I should stop the preaching. I'm talking nonsense. No, so I'm talking nonsense. I'm asking that as a Christian, who is pointing to you that you are his work? Number 8. Give yourself wholly to God by building your entire life around God's family. Entire life around God's family. That's when we know that you have given yourself wholly to God. You see, one of the best services you should listen to is the His Presence service. I'm preaching a series titled "Why Few Are Chosen." You should listen to it. Which also means why few are blessed. Number 9. Preaching. Oh, I'm preaching. Oh. Number 9. Give yourself wholly to God by being fully submitted to His word. The Bible. I saw somebody with a Bible. Sir, can I have your Bible? Yeah. Give yourself wholly to God by being fully submitted. Not partially, not superficially. The word of God is what, you see, your attitude towards the Bible is what shows that you love God. John 14, 23. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. If a man love me, can I have another translation? What does it mean to keep my word? Maybe it means to store it well, to keep it in a good suitcase, in a proper trunk and lock it up. New Living Translation. All who love me will do what I say. That's a mark. Love is not feelings. In fact, if love is feelings, then what you know is love is not love. Oh, and what you know is not love is love. Because love, if love is feelings, then love is bad feelings. I repeat myself. If love is feelings, then love is bad feelings. Hardly will good feelings be love. Good feelings. Hardly. The First Corinthians 13, love, you see. There's nothing good feelings about it. Suffering long. Patience. Many of you, the life you are living, this book is somewhere. It's excluded. How do I know? I will ask you. Which Bible verse supports what you are doing? And can you give three scriptures together to back what you are doing? What you are going to do after church? Which verse? You see, ideally, our Christian lives ought to have been a life where we support. Like you say, like normal, I say, I'm going to the mood changing plaza to buy lunch. But ideally, we should have said that according to James 4, 6, I'm going to the mood changing to buy lunch. I feel tired. So according to these two scriptures, I feel tired. I'll be at the service this evening. According to Hebrews 5, this, I'll be at the service. Which verses are you using to live the life you are living? Which verses are you using to sit in the church the way you are sitting? The way you are sitting in the church. Your type of membership. Which verses are you using? The type of membership you are. Which verses allow you to be a member of a church the way you are a member? Maybe I should stop preaching. And thankfully, I'm even coming to the end of the scripture. Yeah. You listen. There is nothing like Christianity or walking with God outside the word. The word. The word, that's why I'm saying that love. If love is feelings, then it's only bad feelings. The good feelings you have in your waist, which will give you erections, it's not love feelings, it's lustful feelings. The wife you love, you even hardly have an erection when you are with around her. It's just patience. Yes. Yes. That's love. That feeling you have when you are with somebody's husband and you are oohing and aahing, it's not love. Love is that, I am still with you. By the word of God, I am with you. That's love. That's why I said, if love is feelings, then it's only bad feelings. To submit yourself to the word of God, it should not be exciting. Few things about the word of God and its obedience is exciting. Let me give you this again. Few things, if any, are exciting as you obey. The excitement, you see, there is something called short term and long term. God's blessings are long term. Satan's blessings are short term. It is Satan that when you are obeying, it's exciting at the beginning. Anything you are doing with excitement, the chances that Satan is the architect of that life is very high. Anything you are doing with pain, sorrow, grief, yes, then later, the joy, the excitement. The Bible says, sow with joy and reap with tears. You don't sow with joy. Sow where? In tears. I'm teaching you how to give yourself holy. That there's no scripture you are obeying that when you are obeying, it's exciting. When you are obeying to pray, when you are obeying to forgive, when you are obeying to fast, when you are obeying to give, there is nothing like exciting doing. But afterwards, I was wrong. I thought they that sow with joy. So sowing is with tears. Look, I'm a bishop. Any day, I prefer to go to Facebook than to have my quiet time. It's nicer. Oh, it's nicer. It's nicer to be on Instagram looking at pictures and short videos and nonsense. You feel relaxed. The Bible, even the English, is serious. When we say we study the Bible with joy or we serve with joy, and you see, that is why even the word is joy, actually. It's not happiness. Yeah. Hardly will you see happy. It's there, but most of the time it's joy. Because joy does not depend on happenings. Happiness depends on happenings. When you are doing something for God, you must find the joy from wherever you buy it. The reason why many of us are not submitted to God's word is that it is painful to obey God. It's painful. But nevertheless, afterwards, when the blessings and the harvest and the result of obedience, is joy, is peace, is righteousness, is everything in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm having a good life. I was with my wife yesterday. We were traveling somewhere together, just the two of us. And I was telling her, I have suffered. She said, I know. I told her, I've suffered. I've really suffered. Really suffered. In this church, I've suffered. But when I look at the life God has blessed me with, no billionaire in the world can buy the life I have. There's no money, there's no currency on earth that can be exchanged, that can be used to get the life I'm enjoying now. There's none. There's no money. It's priceless. You want a good life? Start it with the short-term pain so you can have long-term pleasure. Don't start life with short-term pleasure. Girl, don't. Refuse it. Don't get the money. Don't get the money. Don't be with them. Any good life you enjoy at the beginning of any life is a harbinger of pain ahead. A harbinger of pain ahead. Anybody who starts life with pleasures has only left pain at the end. Anybody, you are a little girl, you want to marry, the only person you can marry is somebody's husband and engineer his divorce. So you can get a man who already has two cars, has completed two houses. That's the type of life you have, you want. You will see, soon, it will be coming out of your nostrils like maggots. The life you must embrace is a life of present pain. And that is what the word of God guarantees. Any Bible you obey is painful. Any verse, what Peter said, we have toiled here all night. We've got nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. At thy word means shame. For a grown-up fisherman like Peter to be listening to a carpenter who has been making coffins and roofing sheets and doors, and to be fishing in the morning at a place where he has been all night, even his fellow fishermen will wonder, is this man sense? Is he well? Every at thy word is shame, pain. You feel like a fool. I mean, if God says forgive somebody, try and forgive. The feeling you will have first is that you are a fool. To let this guy go, you should have shown him pepe. Yes, for what he did, you should show him where power lies. So many of you will choose the option of not obeying God's word, because any God's word you don't obey gives you instant highs, instant pleasures. You feel free. That what can be a channel? What can we do a channel? Kwasiasem. Ube wano kasab by heart. Yeah. But for a Christian to be quiet and say, I've forgiven you, you yourself, not your friend, you yourself, you feel that you were a fool. And that feeling is what gives later on the blessing of health and wealth and no diabetes and no cancer. Anything that is God, short term is painful, long term is pleasurable. I want to end here. I've gone past my time. Now we are moving with time. Rise to your feet. We'll continue God with it next week. Ask your neighbor, tell me something you learned in this service. What the man was saying. What did you learn from what the man was saying? And when the person finishes, ask the person, do you believe what you are saying? Do you believe that what the man was saying is true? Yes, say it. Continue. And when he finished, the other person will also tell you what he has learned. It's called bring your mind Bible study. Tell your neighbor, tell him what you've learned. And tell the person, let's clap our hands and thank God for his word. His word. Lift your hands and pray. Whatever your brother or your sister shared with you, whatever you discuss, pray about it. Pray about it. Pray. 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 Rene mo sheta la bala, lipalia do shene maya, leketo la vradi katayama, ei kele masonda baya, la katola vadia, remese kapanani, lante maya, lipalia na maya, antele ma sante ma, ikalia de valo ma sante maya kata, ali antene mo shante valava, kela vasona maya,
Father, we thank you.
Yes.
We are grateful to you.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
In Jesus' name. In
Jesus' name.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. You are here today. You are not born again. You want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be born again. Pastor, I want to know Jesus. I want to surrender my life today. Today, I want to be a born again Christian. Today, I want to be a Christian. Today, I want to give my life to Jesus. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to know Jesus. Pastor, please, please. Please stop what you are doing and pray for me. I feel that God is calling me. I feel that God is drawing me. If you are here today, you want me to pray with you to receive Jesus, just lift your hand wherever you are. Yes, lift it high above your head. Pastor, yes, yes, yes. Lift it above your head. Pastor, I want to be born again today. I want to know Jesus. Lift your hand high. I see your hand. It's your decision. You want to come to God. You want to surrender to Jesus. You want to give your life to him. You want him to be your master and your Lord. Lift your hand high above your head, above your head, above your head. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. If your hand is up, I want you to come now. Come to me wherever you are. Come, yes. I like the way the girl is coming. Run and come. Come on, baby.
Come running. Come running,
come running,
come running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. His grace will be your covering. His blood will flow freely. It will provide your healing. Come running to the mercy seat.
Come to Jesus.
His grace will be your covering. His blood will flow freely. It will provide your healing.
Come running.
Come running to the mercy seat.
Can you lift your two hands, everyone? Let's call on God. Let's call on God now by praying this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Today.
Today.
I surrender my life to you.
I surrender my life to you.
I realize I am a sinner.
I realize I am a sinner.
I realize I've done many bad things.
I have realized that I've done many bad things.
I am dirty.
I am dirty.
Please wash me.
Please wash me
with the blood of your son Jesus.
With the blood of your son Jesus.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Make me clean.
Make me clean.
Make me pure.
Make me pure.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Today.
Today.
I surrender to you.
I surrender to you.
And I make Jesus my Lord.
And I make Jesus my Lord.
Oh, say, Jesus.
Jesus.
You are my master.
You are my master.
Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
From today.
From today.
I will follow you.
I will follow you.
I will obey you.
I will obey you.
I will submit myself to your word.
I will submit myself to your word.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That I am born again.
That I am born again.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Clap your hands.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to ask the pastors to talk to you, get your details, to pray with you, to visit you. You need to be guided. You need someone to talk to you. As you are a baby Christian now. You don't know your left from your right. But we've got pastors who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So there they are. You see, they're the pastors. And there are many more of them. So please, let's go to them. Go to them. God bless you. Clap your hands for them. Keep clapping. And let's welcome our pastor, Bishop Kobe.
Come on, let your hand clap be proper.
Yes.
Let your hand clap be proper.
Come on.
Clap your hands properly. Everybody, the people at the back, I'm watching you. I insist. Yes. Clap your hands properly.
Yes.
Properly.
Yes.
I see somebody wearing a bandage. He's trying to clap his hands. Clap your hands properly.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What a blessing. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, thank
How many
you,
of you
Jesus.
Feel that your Christianity almost needs a restart?
Yes.
It's almost like you've been doing non-sila.
Hey.
Yes. But Bishop, thank you. What God bless you.
Amen.
I am very sure that without these messages, we would have arrived in heaven to realize that we were off track. Yeah. We were off track. As the messages are coming, you can tell that you are off track. Yeah, you are off track. You're off track. But I pray for you also that you not just be a hearer of the word.
Amen.
But a doer.
Amen.
A doer.
Amen.
A doer of the word.
Amen.
A doer of the word.
Amen.
So by this time, point 1 to 7, you should be working on it heavily. Today, 8 and 9 has come to add. How many of you believe that you are doing your best to be somebody who gives himself wholly to God? You are forcing.
Yes.
You are forcing. You must force. You must force. Take out your communion this morning or afternoon.
This is my body.
Lift up the bread,
which was broken for you. Drink. This is my blood, which was shed.
I'm waiting for you to get your bread and your wine.
Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have eternal life.
All right, lift up your bread. Say, this is the body of Jesus Christ.
This is the body of Jesus Christ.
Which he gave wholly to me.
Which he gave wholly to me.
Say, as I eat this body.
As I eat this body.
May I be reminded.
May I be reminded.
That God expects to give myself wholly to him.
That God expects me to give myself wholly to him.
The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Eat it.
The meal of God. It will sustain you. It will make you whole. Give you life. When I see the blood.
Lift up your cup.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The the blood was drained out of his body as a sign that he had given his entire life for you and I. His entire life for you and I. May it also be that you choose to give your entire life to God. Because now we know that it's a choice. Lift up your cup. Say, this is the blood of Jesus Christ.
This is the blood of Jesus.
Say, as I drink it,
as I drink it,
may I be reminded that Jesus gave his entire life,
that Jesus gave his entire
for me,
life for me.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Drink it.
I will pass over you. Oh, when I see, when I see.
Now lift up your two hands. Your hands lifted today is a symbol of surrender.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
May you be counted among those who gave themselves wholly to God.
Amen. Amen.
Counted among those who gave themselves.
Amen.
May your entire body,
Jesus,
soul,
yes,
spirit,
yes,
be given totally to God. Because now we know it is your decision.
Yes, it's my decision.
May you choose to give yourself entirely to God.
Amen. Amen.
May your activities be woven around God and his people.
Yes. Yes.
May your decisions favor God and his people.
Amen. Amen.
May your thoughts be for God. Your actions be for God.
Yes. Yes,
every day of your life.
Amen.
Every day of your life.
Amen.
Receive grace.
I receive it.
To give yourself holy.
Amen.
Enter.
Amen.
Father, we ask for mercy.
Mercy, Lord. Mercy.
We ask for mercy.
Mercy, my God.
We ask for mercy.
Yes, Lord.
We know it is our decision, but we also ask for your help.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
To give ourselves holy unto
my God, my God.
We don't want to be turned away on that day for lawlessness. Hey, help us, Lord.
Help us, Lord. Help us.
Help us. Help us, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus name.
Amen.
Amen.
Clap your hands for Jesus.
Oh, yes.
And you may be seated, please. Be seated.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makanere Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.